And here are some more quotations on this subject of women drinkers, heard at the Chicago Liquor Convention and furnished me by an investigator for the Businessmen's Research Foundation. Again, I quote the exact words, quote, "Whether or not women drink is their own business. Any place not fit for a woman is not fit for a man. Women are opposed to state-owned liquor stores. Most of the present tavern, bars, and so forth, are just like the old saloon, except the swinging doors. But there is nothing wrong with that. We want them." End of quote. Still quoting these liquor barons, I read, quote, "Nothing counts like making a profit. Don't forget the 15 million votes which may repeal possible. Cultivate and please them, and the future of your business is secure. The legitimate alcohol industry seems to be suffering from an inferiority complex. It should forget everything but what the people want." End of quote. The people. It just burns me up to hear anybody say it was the people's will. It was the will of 15 million people, but it certainly was not the will of millions of church members of voting age in this country to have the old-time saloon back and to have drunken women hanging over the bars, yes, and laying in the gutter, just like the drunken bums of the old days did. No, there isn't much difference between the woman drunk and the man drunk today. They are just about on an equal plane. You will find them both lying in the gutter. It's time someone was speaking out on this question. It's time somebody steps out on the front line and braves the blasts of the liquor men. And if I'm to be one, I'll stand the gaff as long as I'm able. And it'll give me courage to know that there are thousands of you, not very far back of me, in the new dry army that is going to batter down the wet stronghold sooner than any of us realize. The booze crowd is going to hang itself with just such tactics as I've described to you. And as I've said before, all this was out of the mouths of the liquor men themselves. Let me say here and now that I regard today's inside facts regarding the secret working of the mighty booze barons are by far the hottest material I've ever given over the air on this question. Really, friends, I feel as if I'm stepping into the very jaws of the liquor devil himself and laying myself wide open to the mighty forces of evil that these liquor interests can unloose when they feel that their millions of dollars in profits are being impaired. As I was gathering the facts for this talk, a full realization came to me of the real danger there is in this kind of a crusade. Week in and week out, month in and month out, I've gotten deeper and deeper into the fight, never fully realizing on what dangerous ground one treads in this kind of a campaign. But in such a situation, there is consolation in the words of a great crusader of the past whose words have become immortal, quote, "Kill me. Stone me, if you will, but remember, if you put me to death, God will raise up a multitude to take my place." With such an army of faithful friends as the hundreds of thousands of you who are standing with me in this fight, how could I ever turn back, even though the booze interests do unleash their mighty forces of evil against me? I want to thank you today for the loyal way you are standing by me in behalf of this great temperance work that is so very dear, not only to my heart, but to yours as well. You have proven that, and I love you for it. We read in the old book how that 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and that 1 could chase 1,000, and 2 put 10,000 to flight. How, I ask you, how can such remarkable results as set forth in those passages be brought to pass? Dear ones, the answer is simple: through the help of the Lord and the cooperation of his people, each one doing his share and all working together towards one great end. Do you see it? Of course you do. The goal is a saloonless nation, a country redeemed from this awful liquor curse, and to me, the worst curse that ever befell any people. Each one doing his share, and all working together, all working together. The people must again be shown what alcohol is and what it does. The younger folks do not know, and many of the adults, the mothers, if you please, who are sitting up to the bar drinking beer. Act as if they did not know what alcohol is and what it does. I am asking your continued support. Remember, one can chase 1,000, and two can put 10,000 to flight. In other words, I can't do it alone. But with your splendid cooperation and loyalty, we, you and I, can do our part towards again restoring sanity. Address your letters to Ethel Hubler, H-U-B-L-E-R, in care of the station to which you are listening. Let me give you some of the statements from some of our great Americans, what they think of drink. George Washington said, "Drink in the United States is the source of all evil and the ruin of half of the working men of the country." Abraham Lincoln said, "Slavery is abolished. The next great question will be the overthrow and abolition of the liquor traffic. My head, hand, and heart will go into that great work." Robert E. Lee said, "My experience through life has convinced me that abstinence from spirituous liquors is the best safeguard to morals and health." Thomas A. Edison said, "To put alcohol into the human body is like putting sand in the bearings of an engine. It slows down the brain and the action of the nerves and muscles." And Martin Luther said, "Whoever first brewed beer has prepared a pest for Germany. I have prayed to God that he would destroy the whole brewing industry." Friends, are you with me? How do I know unless you write to me and tell me that you believe the radio is the best method of telling the people that repeal has failed and that total abstinence for the individual and prohibition for the nation are the only methods? Do you believe rum running has decreased? Do you? Do you believe it? Believe what? Do you believe that the national budget is being balanced? Do you? Here are the facts in the case. They told us that liquor would bring to the government treasury $2.5 billion a year, and it has only brought $375 million. And the people had to spend $3 billion for legal and bootleg booze in order that our treasury might be enriched to the amount of $375 million. Just taking that much money away from the grocerman, the merchant, Orange Aid, and other business. A survey of 56 cities shows that the consumption of milk has fallen 27%, and the coffee industry in a year has lost $21 million, which is equivalent to over a billion fewer cups of coffee consumed this first year of repeal. Do you believe it? Do you believe that the budget is being balanced with blood money? Do you? Do you believe it? Believe what? Do you believe that more men are being put to work? Do you? Well, here are the facts in the case. The American Federation of Labor says there are 420,000 more men and women out of work now than a year ago. Do you believe it? Do you? Do you believe it? Believe what? Believe that even the wet newspapers are satisfied with the present conditions. Do you? Well, here are the facts. The Chicago Daily News recently said, quote, "The saloon was never to return. Liquor was to be taken out of politics. Bootlegging was to be ended. Drinking was to decrease. Temperance was to be promoted. Furthermore, unemployment was to be mitigated greatly. New revenue was to roll into state and federal treasuries in vast sums, and the nation was to be saved many millions in the cost of enforcement. None of the promises have been fulfilled. The saloon is back. Liquor is in politics. Bootlegging continues. Drinking has increased. Unemployment is worse. The revenue returns to the state treasury are far below the hopeful estimates of 1933. And the cost of fighting the liquor traffic is still burdensome." End of quote. Do you believe conditions are better? Do you? Do you believe it? Believe what? Do you believe that the liquor traffic can be controlled? Do you? Well, here are the facts in the case. The government control system has been tried. The South Carolina dispensary system, the Swedish system, the BRAC system of control have been tried, and all have failed to control. Senator Morris Shepherd of Texas now says, quote, "I think it is being realized by both wets and dries that the liquor traffic is too big, too lawless, too powerful, too remorseless for the states alone to handle it successfully. In my judgment, the only way successfully to handle it is to put it under an eternal and unchangeable legal and constitutional ban and continuously endeavor to destroy it, end of quote. In the light of the above facts, what do you think? What do you? Do you believe that citywide, countywide, statewide, nationwide, worldwide prohibition is the best method? Do you? Well, we do. This method has unquestionably proven to be the best and most effective one thus far tried to handle the liquor traffic. Oh, hear me, friends. Look at me. The truth and the facts in this great fight for righteousness and sanity and sobriety are all on our side. There has not been one promise made by the friends of repeal that has been kept. The budget has not been balanced. More men have not been put to work. The liquor traffic has not been controlled. Crime has not decreased. There is not less drinking. There are not fewer drunks. There are not fewer bootleggers. There are not fewer rum runners. There are not fewer drunken drivers. Every one of these promises made by those who wish to legalize this narcotic, this drug, this poison, have been broken. Can't you see it? Don't you know that I could not sit under this microphone and make these statements if I were not telling the truth? I could not do it. The facts, the statistics to prove our case are all on our side to back up every statement I have just made. God help you to see that I am in earnest on this question, that I want to help you, that in this work I am doing, I am in a bigger business than the clothing business, a bigger business than the dressmaking business, than the restaurant business, than the railroad business, than any business that you can name. I am in the business of trying to save your boys and girls, your homes from the ravages of drink. I am trying to make this world a better place in which to live. And now I want to tell you about a new dry kit of working tools which every person actively interested in the dry cause should have. I am offering this week, in response to numerous suggestions, that a combination offer be made which would include not only a quantity of leaflets, but the repeal has failed rubber stamp, an ink pad, auto stickers, and other useful material. The National Voice has prepared a large number of dry working kits, which will be mailed out for $1 postpaid anywhere in the United States. The new combination kit includes, one, a repeal has failed rubber stamp, an ink pad for use with the rubber stamp, two, repeal has failed auto or window stickers, Prohibition Facts by W.G. Calderwood, a valuable reference volume summarizing current phases of the liquor question. John Barleycorn, Public Enemy Number 1 by Dr. Roy L. Smith, a scientific analysis of what it is, what alcohol is, and what it does to man. And a large assortment of the most popular dry leaflets now available, including five of our most popular leaflets. If you already have some of this material, pass it along to someone interested in the dry cause. You will find in this kit valuable material for which you have been looking. We urge that you enclose a dollar bill in an envelope and send it to Ethel Hubler in care of WHO Des Moines, Iowa. This new working kit for dries is in itself an exceptional value. I'm going to do something more. I am also going to send everyone who sends $1 for this kit a 2-month trial subscription to the National Voice. Send your dollar bills for the working kit and for a 2-month trial subscription for the paper to Ethel Hubler, H-U-B-L-E-R, W-H-O, Des Moines, Iowa. It's a great way to spread the word that repeal has failed and that total abstinence for the individual and prohibition for the nation are the only methods.